Revelation chapter 1. I want to read verse 1 through 8 as our text. The book of Revelation is the final revelation from God to man for this age. Until we hear the shout to go home to heaven to be with the Lord, God's word to man has finished. Anytime preachers say they heard from God and God gave them a word of knowledge and God told them to say this, they're lying. If God said that, we'd have to add another book of the Bible. It would be the word of God. God doesn't speak to people in an audible voice. He did to the prophets at times, but he is not doing that today. The Bible is finished. And until we hear the shout to go to heaven, we won't hear another message from the Lord. Book of Revelation closes that. Revelation 1:1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Remember verse number 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Father, as we look in your word, I pray that you'll help me to do honor unto it and to be a help and a blessing to your people. Speak to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Have liberty to meet with us tonight, we pray. We invite you into our presence. Help us to hear your word, to believe your word, to obey your word. And we need thy help. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Revelation gives us the ending, the future things that will take place. The book of Genesis reveals how humanity began in a paradise. The book of Revelation shows that once again we'll be reunited with God in a paradise with the Lord. The book of Genesis shows how paradise was lost because of sin, and they lost the right to the tree of life. But the book of Revelation restores that. In Revelation 22:2, we will eat of the tree that produces a fruit for each season, and in its leaves are the healing of the nations. In Genesis chapter 3 and 4, it reveals that man's rebellion and disobedience unto God. Revelation reveals there's coming a day where all rebellion will be over, and all that are lost and sinful will be cast out. Genesis records the first murder, the first drunkenness, and the first rebel to God. Revelation promises there'll be nothing impure or shameful or deceitful that will enter in, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Genesis 3 and 4, we have the tragic sorrow resulting from man's sin. In Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and the former things will be remembered no more. In Genesis, recording of the first death in chapter 4 in verse number 8. In Revelation 21:4, there'll be no more death. You see, the first death is recorded in Genesis chapter 4 in verse number 8. There are people who believe there was some kind of pre-Adamic civilization. They try to put the dinosaurs in there. They try to account for millions of years and all that sort of thing. But the Bible makes it very clear, until sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, there was no death. Death was a result of sin, and it passed on to all men. in Genesis reveals the curse that God put upon the earth in chapter 3, verse 15 through 18. And in Revelation 22, 3, the curse is lifted. In Genesis 3, 1 through 18, Satan is introduced as a deceiver and a tempter. In Revelation 20, 10, he'll be cast into the lake of fire, tormented day and night forever and forever. In Genesis 3, 15, there's the promise of Christ, the Son of Woman, who will bruise the head of the serpent. In Revelation 19, 20, Satan will be defeated when Christ returns to the earth and fights the battle of Armageddon and sets up his kingdom. In Genesis, it reveals that Satan questions God's word and denies God's truth in chapter 3 and verse number 1. Revelation 22, 19 says, all who take away from the word of God will have their part taken away from the book of the living. So we look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1 through 4. I hold to what is called a futurist point of view of the book of Revelation. John was to write of the things he saw, the things that were taking place at present, and the things that will happen in the future. And so we have the past, the present, and the future in the book of Revelation. This book is prophetic. It is the primary book of eschatology about what's going to happen. Eschatology means future things. And so all the future things are going to take place. We find the primary book is the book of Revelation, but you compare it with other books like Ezekiel's prophecy, Daniel's prophecy, and you get a support for understanding the things that take place in the future. The church is not mentioned after chapter 4 and verse number 1. The first three chapters, scripture of Revelation is addressed to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And Jesus speaks to those seven churches. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, John is caught up into heaven as a symbol or as a representation of the church being taken up into heaven. And we don't find the church mentioned anymore in the book of Revelation during all the judgments of God, because the church is the body of Christ and He is the head. The church is the bride and Christ is the groom. The church is the building and Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone. We are united together with Christ and we have been delivered from the judgment that is to come. The church is not subject to the wrath of God because Christ bore the wrath of God on Calvary and took our place, and that debt has been paid by His precious blood. We await now the conclusion of our salvation when we go to heaven and get a new body, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord, the Scripture says. That's why Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 15 through 17, First John 4 and verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So in Christ, our judgment has been paid, and we can have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, Christ had John address the revelation of these seven churches of Asia Minor, or Turkey today. And he writes to them with commendation for the good that they have done, with praise for their works, and then with warning about all the dangers that they face. He expresses the needs that they have to remember where they were, to repent of any wrong that they have done. And he warns them about the danger of their light or candle or power being removed if they continue as they are after this warning is given unto them. There are warnings of false doctrine. There is the promise of future rewards. And when you get to the last church, you come to Laodicea, there is a rebuke and a chastening and a call for repentance from the people of Laodicea. And then chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says John is told, "Come up hither." And he comes up to heaven with the Lord. From here forward, there's no mention of the church in all the judgments of Revelation, because the tribulation period is Daniel's 70th week, which deals with the nation of Israel, the seven-year period of years that God deals with Israel, and the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel for 1 week of years, or 7 years in the tribulation. It is the focus of Israel and not the church in the tribulation period. Unlike some denominations today, we see a clear distinction between the nation of Israel and the church. The church was a mystery that had not previously been revealed, that Jew and Gentile together would be in the church. When people are saved, they're to follow the Lord in baptism and church membership. And the only reason for Jew or Gentile or any other nation not to be together is if there's a language barrier. Otherwise, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to be united in the church. And that is the mystery that was withheld from the Old Testament saints. But we have not taken the place of the nation of Israel. The promises to Israel are still true. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 1, Paul said that God has not cast away His people whom He foreknew. And in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25, he said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And when the fullness takes place, God's focus returns to the nation of Israel. There are great distinctions throughout the Bible between the church and Israel. Israel received the covenants and the commandments and the responsibilities before God. They were given the writers of the Scripture, and 4/5 of the Scripture are written to and about and for the nation of Israel. 1/5 are given to the church in the New Testament letters, where we live today in the church age, or the age of grace that we live in today. Israel had earthly promises of an inheritance of the land of Israel. And by the way, you look on a map today and you can hardly find Israel. It's so small a piece of land on a globe or a map, but the original property that God gave to Abraham that they will inherit again is from the river of Egypt, which we believe to be the Nile, to the Euphrates River, and all the property in between belongs unto them, and they will have that property one day in the kingdom. Israel had earthly promises. If they served God, if they were obedient, if they did what was right, God would not let other nations conquer them. They would be able to live in the land in peace, and they failed over and over in that. But the church is not given an earthly promise, it's given a heavenly promise. Christ is preparing a place for us, and we're going home to be with Him forevermore. Israel is the physical seed of Abraham and his descendants. The church is the spiritual seed of Abraham, because he was the father of faith for us all. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 25, shows that we have the same faith today that Abraham had then, and it's through faith that righteousness comes by grace, not through the works of righteousness. Israel's head was Abraham. He was the father. The church's head is Jesus Christ. Israel was one nation, began with one man to become a great host of people like the sand of the sea, a nation of Israel throughout time. But the church is from all nations. In Revelation, we'll gather, the Bible says, in heaven. And it'll be from every nation and every tongue and every tribe. And we'll sing praise unto God for the salvation that God has given us. Israel is seen throughout all the past dispensations, except with Adam and Eve. The church is in this present age in which we live. Israel failed at being a light to the world of the goodness of God. The church has been cut off the olive tree of Israel, and we've been grafted in a wild olive tree. And now our job is to bear fruit for God, and we've been given a mission with a commission to make disciples of all nations of people for the Lord. And it's imperative that we don't fail in our job that we've been given. Israel rejected Christ as their Messiah. The church is saved by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The Father called Abraham to follow and receive the land and promises that God would give unto him. Christ calls the church to follow him and become like him and receive future reward. To Israel, Christ was the son of Abraham and the son of David, in lineage to be the king of the nation of Israel. To us, he's Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, who saves us from our sins. To Israel, the Holy Spirit came upon men at times to empower them for specific duties. To us today, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer when he's saved. And we are indwelt by God's Spirit until that final day of our redemption. To Israel, they had Moses' law. To the church, we have the position of grace. To Israel, the tribulation will turn them to Christ. To the church, we will be kept from that hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. Israel was granted a priesthood of the tribe of Levi, the Levites. The church is a priesthood of believers with responsibility to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God and to give our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, not slaying lambs and goats and heifers and ashes and the temple and all those things, but we're to offer ourselves and we're to offer praise unto God. Israel was the unfaithful wife of Jehovah, and the church is the bride of Christ. I ask you, are we faithful as the bride of Christ or not? Israel will suffer tribulation and many of them will die, but God has a remnant preserved. The church is delivered from the tribulation. Israel is given signs of the end of the world. The church is given the promise and told to live now in the light of the imminent return of Christ. He could come at any moment, or at any moment coming is what imminent means. The nation Israel is in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. The church is not found in the 70th week. Antichrist and removal of the restrainer brings persecution to the nation of Israel when Satan will be cast down to the earth by Michael the archangel. The Holy Spirit has sealed us until the day of redemption, and we are safe and secure and protected. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, and we shall go to be with him as well. Now, with the exception of chapter 12 and chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, most of the book is in chronological order. Most of it follows a sequence of events. But chapter 12 and chapter 17 have some parenthetical injections. The seal of judgments of chapter 6 comprise the first quarter of the tribulation, and the trumpet judgments of chapter 8 and 9, the second quarter of the tribulation. The bowl judgments of chapter 16, the last half of the tribulation when the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth. in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, we have the unveiling of events given to Christ, from Christ to John, the beloved disciple, to address to the seven churches of Asia Minor. The estimated date of his prophecy was about 90 A.D. to 96 A.D. in that time frame. Under the persecution of Emperor Domitian of the Roman Empire, John was exiled to the island of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, because of preaching the gospel, because of being a Christian. Instead of killing him, they exiled him to a little island, a rock out in the sea, and it was here that the book of Revelation was given unto John. Revelation is not to be read as an allegorical study, as many denominations describe. It does have some symbolism, but that's made clear. It is, as all Scripture, to be taken literally with a historical, grammatical interpretation to take the Word of God as it has been given. There is a blessing that is offered to those who read and heed this book. Study it, learn it, know it, obey it, and there's a blessing to you from God for doing that. Christ explains He's the first and the last, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. He is the eternal Savior and Lord, and He is eternal with John seeing Him resurrected from the dead, and we're going to see Him one day when He calls us up to heaven to be with Him. When He comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon, that's what Revelation 1 is referring to when it says He comes with clouds and every eye shall see Him. In that day, the world will see Jesus is coming, and the kings and the captains and the leaders and the rich men of the earth will beg for the mountains to fall upon them and the rocks to cover them and hide them from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne because they have disobeyed Him. Now Christ, the first and last, expresses to us, the redeemed, grace and peace in verse number 4. You are God's people. God's desire for you is to have grace and peace. Like I was saying a few moments ago, you can have peace in the midst of the storm because Christ is your Savior. He is your Lord. He is the sovereign of the world, and we can call upon Him and ask for His help, His protection, and His provision, and He will supply that, and He knows what we have need of before we even ask. But He tells us to ask and to keep on asking and keep on knocking and keep on seeking, and God will bless. From the Father and the Son, and it says the seven spirits that are before the throne of God. Make a notation somewhere, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2. If you read Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2, it tells you the seven characteristics or attributes of the Spirit of God. It's just like in Isaiah 9:6, where it refers to Christ as the Son with the government upon His shoulders, who is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All those are attributes and characteristics of Christ, and the Holy Spirit before the throne of God has these seven characteristics from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2. In verse 5 of Revelation chapter 1, it comes from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead. Christ was in paradise. He died on the cross. His spirit went into paradise where all the believing saved were kept, the souls of men. And across from them was a place called Hades, where the departed lost were kept. They could not go from one place or another. You read that with the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where Father Abraham said he could not send Lazarus back. They could not go from there or come from thence. He could not give him a drink of water. He had his opportunity on earth, and now he's under judgment. But Lazarus, who was a believer, was in Abraham's bosom in paradise. But when Christ arose from the dead as the first begotten from the dead, he arose bodily. But he took the captive souls of paradise with him to heaven, and paradise is in heaven with the Lord today. And when Paul was stoned and left for dead, he was caught up into paradise, and he heard and saw things that he was not allowed to write at that time. God loves us, and that's a continuous action. He continues to love us, and he loves us with an everlasting love and an unconditional love. You say, you don't know how sorry I've been. You don't know how I've failed. It doesn't matter if I don't know that. God knows it, and God knew it before you did it. And God loves you anyway, and he continues to love you. Because he loves you, he'll chasten you if you disobey him and you don't repent of your sin and confess it unto him. He's made us free from our sins with his own blood. In 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Over in Colossians chapter 1, the Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the church, and he's to have the preeminence above everything else. We are to confess our sin to God and seek his forgiveness, and then we're to work as a priesthood of believers. We're to make intercessory prayer on behalf of others. We are to be a witness for Christ. We're to offer spiritual sacrifices of our offerings and our praise, and to proclaim the name that is above every name, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest after the order not of Israel that came through the Levites, but under a different order, the order of Melchizedek, that was not required to have father and mother that symbolized a particular tribe. But eternally, because God designated him such, he is our high priest forever, and he makes intercession on our behalf before the throne of God day and night. Revelation is filled with future things that are going to happen. The most imminent is that Jesus is coming again, and we need to be prepared for his coming. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. We ask you to bless this invitation. Help us to make any decisions that we should before we leave here tonight. Help us to be encouraged, Father, by your love for us, by your sacrifice on our behalf, by the fact that though we are highly unworthy, you saved us and you keep us by your power, and you've promised us a future in heaven with you forever and forever. We long for that day. We look for that day. Helps to live for that day. In Jesus' name, amen.